Football is his passion.
I love football. I have a deep abiding respect for the game. I love coaching.
It is his family.
I love being a part of a team, you know, just like almost all human beings have a great desire to be a part of a team, a family that's doing something great, doing something remarkable.
It is his life.
It's trying to win the Lombardi Trophy. Working on that tonight, tomorrow, and every day after is that sure gets you out of bed in the morning.
This is the Jim Harbaugh Show.
I can feel the enthusiasm coursing through my veins right now.
Now, here's Murph and Mac.
All right. You know the time. Tuesday, Jim Harbaugh time. Jim Harbaugh Show brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. See your Lexus dealer. Jim Harbaugh also brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer and a proud sponsor of the San Francisco 49ers. And Jim Harbaugh also brought to you by Dr. Scott Hiver, the official LASIK surgeon of the San Francisco 49ers with offices in Daly City, Santa Clara, and San Ramon. Do we have the head coach of the 49ers? Jim, how you doing this morning?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Let's talk about Candlestick right out of the gate before we go any further. It's a huge topic for sports talk radio and newspapers and your fan base. Is it trickling down to you guys at all? Are you guys having to fight off the distraction of what happened on Saturday night? Is it affecting your team?
Well, I think it affected everybody that was there. And, you know, everybody was in our organization was saddened by it.
But is it affecting your team on the field and in meeting rooms and something you have to address?
Like I said, it was, saddened by you sponsor an event and have a game and you don't want to hear the, or see, what took place. So, it's affected us.
So Saturday, do you guys take any different, do you have to tell the guys, hey, we have a game Saturday against the Texans, it's a big game, focus on the field, not the stands? Because I actually heard some of your players say that they were looking into the stands during some of those fights.
Yeah, I didn't know anything was going on during the game, but after the game, I started hearing the stories and saw a few ambulances and whatnot, and you just feel for the. For the people that were injured, and then also people that that saw fights in the stands, and youngsters, you hate to see it. So hopefully clear minds will prevail this week.
All right. Speaking of this week, this is the traditional third preseason game, and for people who follow the NFL, know that the third preseason game is supposed to be the closest thing to a regular season game. Now, my question is, actually, is that changed because of the lockout and the shortened practice? Like, for example, the one you play after this against the Chargers, will that be as much of a real game also? Or is this the one? Is this the one that you're going to try to mimic as much a real game day as possible?
This one is the one that you try to mimic as much as possible, not only a real game, but a real week, a preparation of game planning, of time played during the game by starters, trying to put them in situations of 2-minute goal line, short yardage, as many situations as you can possibly get for the starters in this ball game. So, traditionally that's how it's been done.
And does that mean that possibly the one after the final game against the Chargers, you would rest more of your starters? That this is the chance for fans to see the first string play the most.
Traditionally, that's how it's usually been done in the National Football League. So and our approach here is that the next game is the most important game. So this game, this third preseason game, that's the most important game on our schedule right now.
All right, 49ers Texans Saturday at 5:00 at Candlestick Park. You hear it on KBR 1050 and our sister station 107.7 The Bone. I'm going to ask you about specific guys, but first, big picture. You've had a chance to look at the film now. Your major impressions from the Raiders game on the field. What were maybe the one or two or three biggest thoughts you came away with?
Defensively, the goal line stand I thought was outstanding by our defense. Got a sack, played a toss sweep very well. A hard run up the middle between the tackles. You know, we played very stout on that, and four downs, kept the Raiders out of the end zone. So that was a big impression. Also, our defense getting the ball on the turnovers, the two interceptions. Justin Smith had a sack and a forced fumble. That was extremely, extremely good. And then a third thing, since you asked for three.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
offensively, we put together some very crisp drives, long drives. We were able to hold the ball and time of possession and put together, three really good drives.
I think a lot of people were mostly focused on your offensive line after the Saints game, and there was those blitzes were so crazy, and you guys were so caught unawares. Can you speak to how the offensive line played against the Raiders? Because, boy, statistically, I mean, man, the yards rushing says one thing. Maybe you can even tell us more from looking at the film tactically and I don't know, strategically and maybe emotionally how they played.
I thought our offensive line made a lot of improvement, not only in the game, but during the week of practice and felt like as a unit that, there was a real sense of urgency to, get those blitzes picked up and right from the get-go the other night against the Raiders, we saw free safety blitzes, strong safety blitzes, linebacker blitzes off the edge, and we were better at picking them up. We were better working together as an offensive line.
It really was quite a sight, and obviously, like I said, the rushing yardage. Jim, we have to ask you, just to do our due diligence, as they say, there was a report out of New Orleans that the reason the Saints blitzed you is because you didn't call Sean Payton the week before the game. Do you want to comment on that at all? Is that a true story, and is that what's your reaction to that story?
None. I have no reaction to that. Just, it sounds like water cooler talk. I talked to Sean Payton before the game. We met at midfield and talked after the game, and I didn't get any impression from Coach Payton regarding those comments. So I gotta treat those as just speculation.
You use the phrase water cooler talk just like you did with the Frank Gore stuff. Are you finding out that being the head coach of an NFL team it means you have to deal with a lot of water cooler talk?
I choose not to deal with it. There's so many things that are irrelevant as it pertains to what we're trying to get done here as a football team and in our preparations for this week's game and for our football season.
Yeah, it's good. It's a challenge, though, isn't it, to kind of try to – you have your media obligations publicly, sort of contractually, and yet you have your team you want to coach. So maybe at Stanford it was less so. Is it something you're like finding as one of the challenges of August of your first year?
No, not so much a challenge. You just have a long list of really important things that you have to think about and work on and deal with and – choose to concentrate our efforts on those.
Right. Okay, so let's get into them. Some of the players, starting with, quarterbacks, you commented last week to the reporters, man, you guys love your quarterbacks around here. Well, what about your quarterbacks? Alex Smith, statistically, and I think to the naked eye, looked better.
Yeah.
He did throw an interception, but it happens. People throw interceptions. Your thoughts on Alex after looking at the film, what can you tell us that we don't know?
I thought he played very well. It was crisp, running the football team, made some very good throws, talked about, wanting to see that in the second game, as it relates to the blitz. When a team blitzes, it gives you an opportunity to make a play and make a big play. So, thought he did a good job of that. There was, two throws in particular where he was staring down a a blitzer, a free rusher, and stood in the pocket, knew the hit was coming, took it head on, and you know, we make a vow around here, if you got a chance to throw a touchdown or get a big chunk of yardage by sitting in there and taking that hit, then our quarterbacks vow to do that for the team. So you know, he did it, and then there was another play where he was sandwiched by two defenders, you know, popped right up and was able to make the play, throwing the football on that one as well. So good courage by him, good awareness running the football team, was pleased and a good step in his progression.
And, of course, we're all fascinated by the rookie, too, Colin Kaepernick. Thoughts on him? You know, the same way you observed some stuff from Alex, what did you observe from Colin that was sort of not obvious to the naked eye?
Well, I'm fascinated by Colin as well, and threw some very accurate fastballs, is the way I would term them, in that ball game the other night, and you know, put the ball right where it needed to be. You know, again, Colin is polishing, you know, and that's what we're working on this week. You know, in the way he moves the offense, gets in and out of the huddle, and the mechanics of playing the quarterback position, but Colin's coming along very nicely.
Boy, it's nice to have a head coach who knows the mechanics of getting in and out of the huddle and all that. I think 49er fans are looking forward to that, watching you work with Alex and Colin. Hasn't been around for a while, Jim. Hasn't been for around. We only have a few minutes left with you, and now you got to get going. Two questions that are personnel related. One would be your trade of Taylor Mays. So you did it. He was a second round pick last year. I mean, that's a big draft pick. So maybe you can speak. It just wasn't the fit that you and Vic Fangio were looking for. You know, it's a big thing to do, to part with a second round pick.
Yeah, you know, I would say this, that you know, I have a lot of respect for Taylor Mays. Competed against Taylor in college, you know, being here with him for the three and a half weeks we've been together at training camp, I found him to be a hard worker, a respectful guy, and no issues or problems with Taylor. And I think the fit for him is better, you know, in Cincinnati. And I think everybody sees it that way. And we just wish him well, because he's a good youngster.
Okay, and then a guy you have on your roster who we expect to be there opening day, number 21, the running back, Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Yeah, and Drew Rosenhaus is making life a little more complicated for you than you'd like, right? You know, this is your first NFL contract dispute as a head coach. What's your strategy? What can you tell 49er fans? You know, how cool are, you know, how settled is Frank? How ready is he for the season? And are you concerned that it's a distraction for him going into the season?
Well, Frank talked quite a bit yesterday to the media, and we've had conversations, you know, ever since Frank has been here in training camp, which is, and they've all been good, and they've been man-to-man, and, you know, Frank's a football player. Frank wants to play football, and those are Frank's words. So, you know, again, as it relates to what other people are saying out there, you know, that's irrelevant to me, you know, when I'm dealing with Frank right here in the building, you know. So, you know, I know, you know, Frank has an agent and a very good one in Drew, and he's going to do the best for his client, and that's his job. But it's just to make this statement, I've never seen it be productive to talk about contracts or negotiate through the media, and choose not to do that as well.
Yeah, understood. Final one would be just kind of circling back to what happened on Saturday, and the result is the suspension, likely, of the Raiders 49ers preseason series. I know it was only your first one, although you were with the Raiders before and you played the preseason game on that side. Do you feel that that's the right move, to not have the 49ers and Raiders play a preseason game going forward, based on the decision that seems like both teams and the chief of police and all them are kind of on board? What's your feeling about not playing the Raiders in the future in the preseason?
Well, like Frank said, Frank's just going to play ball. I'm just going to coach the team. And, you know, Jed York's the captain of this ship, and along with Mr. Davis and Amy Trask at the Raiders. I think they're all very capable of making the best decisions for our two organizations, and we'll follow their lead and marching orders. So I support Jed and whatever decision he makes in that regard.
All right, that's it, Jim. You're off to a practice, Texans on Saturday. And are we going to see the first string the whole game, or three quarters, or what? Do you know?
Well, there'll be a plan there in place, and there also will be battlefield decisions made as we go.
All right, Jim. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Harbaugh, KMBR 680, the sports leader.